If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to this live edition of Podcast Unlocked, episode 579. We are recording to you, coming to you live, recording right after the Xbox Developer Direct, which has just concluded as we record this. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined as always by Miranda Sanchez, Stella Chung, and Destin Legarry. Hello, my friends, and let's just get right to it. What were your overall thoughts? I want to hear about just the games, the format. Let's just start. Quick reactions. Miranda, you're up.
I'm so excited. I know, obviously, it's something we've known a bit more about, but actually getting to see the characters on the ground, using their abilities in conjunction, and taking on enemies was exactly what I wanted. And we got a nice surprise out of it, too, with Tango announcing a game that's out today. It's been a while since we've had one of those, so
yes,
a good time.
Yeah, we will get to that in due course here. Stella, your quick thoughts.
I love this presentation. I thought it was great. I really like the documentary style of presentation they did. Obviously, we're going to go into like every single thing that they showed, so I won't go into that yet. But yeah, very happy. Them hot dropping a game was really cool. We haven't seen them since Apex dropped like 3-4 years ago. So very cool that they're taking that approach.
Destin, you're always you're a producer at IGN.
Yeah.
You have an eye for putting these kinds of things together, and you think about it in a unique way. What were your thoughts on the Developer Direct?
Yeah, at first I was a little concerned because there was a lot of people talking on camera, but they kind of got into a really good flow. And by the end of the presentation, I'm like, I get it. This is their like presenting of the games. I think the Redfall one was my favorite because it was our first really deep dive. We got to see like loot in the game for the first time and how that whole system works, how the characters are different. There was a lot to dive into just with Redfall, but I really like this. And we're going to get other events like the ESO Global reveal that's happening directly afterwards, where they'll do more of those deep dives of probably just how gameplay works and what to expect from those expansions. So big thumbs up for the showcase.
Yeah, same from me. I'm so glad that they have finally embraced this format that, let's be honest, Nintendo pioneered it and Sony stole it for State of Play, and they stole it because it works. And now Microsoft has taken it and just put their own little unique spin on it as well. And yeah, I thought it worked really well. There was no real fluff. It was just all meat and no vegetables. And I know vegetables can be healthy, but in this case, Xbox gamers are hungry. And we did get some release dates. Not quite everything though. I would say for me, that was my one and only disappointment from this. It's hard to complain when you get a brand new Tango Gameworks game that drops today. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no Forza Motorsport release date was really the only thing that kind of bummed me out a little bit, because the rest of it was all excellent. But I do want to start with the game that Microsoft ended with there, arguably the highlight of the show and probably what everybody going into it was most looking forward to. And Miranda Sanchez can hardly even keep still, a game she's looking forward to a lot, Redfall. So Miranda, now we've seen a bit more of Redfall. We've heard from Harvey Smith and the development team a little bit. Where are you at with this game? As by the way, we have our date for this May 2nd. So that is not too far away. That's just over 3 months out.
It's funny because we've actually heard a lot about Redfall up until this point. We've gotten a lot of like finite details and just very small things here and there. So there have been a lot of interviews with Harvey. I did one with him last year in June, I guess. And we got really deep into like how the loot works, how, you know, choosing your character works. For instance, if you guys didn't see it, once you pick a character for campaign, you're stuck with them. You do not get to change between the characters. You stay with one character until you start a new game if you want to do that, like with co-op or something. So you can have simultaneous runs going. But what I really liked about this is we got a better vibe for what those characters are like. I like how they were so dynamic and shifting between different situations and encounters. Like you see what we're watching right now. The actual focus of the flashlight is so intense. And I feel like it's a little bit different from the last ones. Like, because you get those closer corridors in this house. And, you know, you get that kind of like almost spooky sense of like, oh, there's something behind me. But then you come in here where you're all powerful. You're walking right up into a vampire, invisible, walking right just past them is totally fine. And so I like that they're able to show these different environments and also different kinds of vampires we'll be facing. So there's different levels of like just, of course, the grunts. But then there's different kinds of bosses depending on the activities you're doing. And then, of course, they show later on, too, like the skulls we have to collect from these neighborhood bosses that are protecting these big regions, and then we get to go fight a god. So that's a pretty cool thing. And honestly, I love that deep dive, again, as Destin was saying too, in the actual combat and letting us see how these things play out and how we will interact with them when we actually get to jump into the game.
Destin, you were pointing out something towards the end there that reminds you of one of your other favorite games.
Yeah, there were a few characters that reminded me a lot of Destiny, like the vampire who had a rotating shield reminded me of I believe they're Hydras in Destiny 2. And when they showed the final boss at the end of the level, that made me think of like Strikes in Destiny. So I think this is going to be very similar to those looter shooters that we all love, like Borderlands, like Destiny. I know they've said during those interviews that it's going to be more like Far Cry, but I'm seeing way more vibes that lend toward the looter shooters genre, and I'm all for it. I actually really like seeing the skill points being given out and allow you to unlock like the progression of your character. I like seeing all the different classes, and to Miranda's point, how you can only play through as one. That also reminds me of Destiny, because like you pick your class, you play through the game as that, and then you can go to a different save file and play as that other character again if you just want to see what they play like. Really, really excited about Redfall. This did a lot to sell the game even further for me, and I can't wait to play May 2nd when it finally hits.
Stella, you are IGN's foremost competitive first-person shooter expert, so your opinion matters very much on this game.
Oh,
I mean, what,
thank you.
It does. I mean, because it's not a competitive game, but there are clearly some, you know, unique elements to it. What stood out to you in Redfall?
So it's weird. I'm really glad that we got more looks into Redfall, but I'm still not seeing that different sort of gameplay. Even like, I know Destin's saying that he sees more of like Destiny in this. I still just see the same like Back for Blood system, and I think it's just because of the way that they chose to walk around in this gameplay trailer. And it's cool, but I understand that they are taking it a little bit slower just to make sure the audience can like really see everything. They're more focusing on the abilities, but to me, I'm really focused because this is an FPS game. I'm very curious to see how the movement is going to work in this, especially since in Back for Blood, Left for Dead, usually you can't really sprint because that takes up your stamina, so there's something that you have to build up with that. And here I can't get a good read on what it's going to look like, and if it's going to be fast paced, you definitely want to have good movement. And I know that in Back for Blood they did kind of modernize that system, but still it was very much like the Left for Dead system. So for this, I haven't been able to get a good read on how the movement is going to work, which is going to huge. Also, I really wish we had seen more unique weapons like this one, this stake, like big minigun, that is so cool. And yet in the trailer we see a lot of like assault rifles, we see shotguns and pistols, and I'm like, I want to see some unique weapons that you like that stake gun that like specifically are to kill vampires. So for me, my excitement is kind of the same. Like, I'm still very excited, but I'm still very like hesitant about being like all in on it, just because I feel like we are still getting very limited pieces of how this FPS game is going to work. But that's just like me being picky.
The freeze gun's not doing it for you, huh, Stella?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was cool.
I see what you mean as far as like we don't have a cut of straight like 10-minute gameplay, like, or like 5 minutes. Like, it's always jumping between something to show those featurettes. Yeah. And I think that's still strong, but as you can even see, like, we're looking at it, it's a lot of like pans, slow zooms. It's not people just like jumping in and playing the game. And I think that is definitely something we sort of missed on this generally, except I think Minecraft actually did it best in kind of walking us through how something went. But we are still missing that like kind of long reel of like, okay, how does this play? What are the overlays like? Obviously, right here, you can't even see like the skills or anything. They've probably cropped them out or like turned them off. But yeah, I see what you're saying, though.
Yeah, like, I'm still really excited, and I think it's going to be pretty solid. But I'm just, for me, I'm very curious about, like, I mean, I love being able to, like, just run around and shoot things. So for me, it's like, this is very deliberate gameplay that we're seeing. So I'm like, okay, I don't really know how this is going to play. And that's fine. I mean, there's, like, some mystery being left open for the game's actual reveal because, you know, May is very close. But still, I'm just like, man, I'm curious to see how, like, organic gameplay is going to look. So...
I guess one quick thing too is I'm very curious about the ADS, which is very weird, aiming down sights. So this is something I'm specifically talking about with Stella because I'm like, Stella, did you notice how it's still the same thing where they kind of put it up and there's kind of like a little bit of a scope, but it's like, man, that is a big ass scope you have on that weapon. Like, are we really looking through it or are we just like a little peek?
Yeah, like that, this right here specifically is so bad. I'm like, I am never going to use ADS if it looks like that. So it's like, is it kind of indirectly forcing you to just... hip fire?
Yeah, it's that's my thing. It's like, I really cannot wait to go hands-on with this someday, probably May 2nd, I guess. But, you know, it's like, I just want to know, what is that like? And why is it not fully in there?
Yeah.
Why are you
the HUD's turned off in all this footage, as you can tell here.
It is, but like you also don't get that. So usually with FPS games, when you do ADS, the rest of your screen does kind of zoom in as well. We don't see any of that. Now in some games you can turn that off, like in Call of Duty, you can actually turn that off as well. Some people prefer it, which is, I personally don't like that. But the fact that we don't get any zoom in and the scope doesn't seem to help out in this footage at all is kind of weird. So
There was the sniper segment.
There's one instance.
Yeah.
Well, that sniper segment. But that's when he was using an ability, it seemed like. Yeah. Because it was like that blue, floofy, ethereal moment.
Like, the sniper scope makes sense. There are some games that are very specific to, like, oh, the sniper, you can definitely scope in. I mean, even with, I keep going back to Back 4 Blood, but Back 4 Blood did that. Like, with all the other scopes, you couldn't really do anything unless you were a specific person or, like, a specific class. And then you could ADS on sniper scopes. But in here, it seems to be the kind of same thing. Like, the sights don't really seem to be helping out a lot.
It's like you're holding a weapon and instead of like pulling it up to your face to actually look down the scope, you're kind of just holding it up rather than like pulling it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just my nitpick from this still, I guess.
No, it's all good. These are important details that we will come to learn in due time. Yeah, this for me, the thing that jumped out for me was when Harvey said it is single player, it is a story-driven experience, which, you know, it's what's interesting to me with this game is it seems pretty different. Like, you can see the Arcane DNA in it. There's no question about that. But it looks to me, this has a very, very different certainly look. But even from what I can gather, just from watching it, a different feel compared to Prey, compared to Dishonored, compared to Deathloop. Like, it is definitely more of a core shooter, I think, would be the way I would phrase it. And the town seems so interesting as a place that if the story, I just hope the story can match up to the unique setting and as well as this interesting variety of weapons. I really liked the customizable stakes that you could attach at the end of your gun. That's a nice touch. It'll be fun to find those around the world.
I want to see more of the weird stuff, like the weapons that are... We saw a bone gun at one point, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. Where do you get that? How do you unlock that weapon?
Like, I want to see the cool, unique stuff to this world that people had to make to survive. So, because that's like the biggest pull of this, right? For so long, we've been dealing with zombies, but now it's vampires, and that's totally different.
We've got May 2nd for this, as we said earlier, And Miranda, thank goodness for you on that, because as we've been talking about on Podcast Unlocked and really all the IGN shows, starting in late May with The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and then on up through June with Diablo 4 and Street Fighter 6 and Final Fantasy 16, there is an absolutely insane stretch at the end of what is technically the spring and kind of into the beginning of the summer. But Redfall's, you know, going to be kind of the first big game of May, and it'll give people a chance to just jump on Game Pass and try this thing out.
I've got 10 days to play Redfall.
You'll do it. I'm looking forward to playing some co-op with all of you in this game.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, four-player co-op. It's going to happen. The unlocked crew getting together for this one. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back. The next thing on the agenda, we got to talk Forza. But first, after the break, I want to talk about the surprise from Tango Gameworks, Hi-Fi Rush, out today. So we'll talk about that right after this. Welcome back. Podcast Unlocked, recording live here, episode 579, immediately after Microsoft's first ever Developer Direct, which I think it's safe to say we all had high praise for. We'll give an overall grade for this at the end of this broadcast. But for now, let's talk about a brand new video game. So that's out today. So as soon as whenever they post it, they haven't put it up yet. Otherwise, we'd probably just have to stop doing the show and just go play this game. That game is Hi-Fi Rush from Tango Gameworks. And by the way, this is only one of two Tango Gameworks games that we are expecting this quarter on Xbox Game Pass, because Ghostwire Tokyo, which was a timed PlayStation 5 exclusive as part of a deal that Sony made with Bethesda prior to Microsoft's acquisition of Bethesda, that should be hitting Game Pass, hitting Xbox, in March. So jumping the gun from that is this brand new game, Hi-Fi Rush, and it is a rhythm-based action game. It's total, you know, cartoon graphics, just leaning hard into that. A soundtrack featuring everybody from Nine Inch Nails to quite the eclectic mix of artists. Destin, I'm going to go your way first because, you were chirping away as this trailer was playing. You had quite the reaction. I think this looks great. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I really loved Metal Hellsinger earlier this or back in 2022. So when I saw this, I was really interested in seeing how that style of gameplay is going to translate to what looks like a fighter platformer. I'm really excited to try it out more tonight, obviously. And what a great little surprise from Tango Gameworks. It's like way out of their wheelhouse. It's sort of a little experiment. And we've been seeing more of this from Xbox with games like Pentiment, where the developers are empowered to create like a smaller one-off and just see how it resonates with people. And that game was really, really popular with the people who actually played through it. So I'm excited to try Hi-Fi Rush because, like I said, I like Metal Hellsinger. This is hitting all the right notes. And I can't wait to play.
God.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Destin. Thank you for that. couldn't help yourself. Couldn't resist. Stella Chung, your thoughts on Hi-Fi Rush?
So immediately when they showed, when the main character jumped up and it showed the world, I was like, oh my God, this is like Sunset Overdrive and Jet Set Radio had a baby. This is great. Yes. And then they showed like the little button prompts where you could do like your massive combo for like your ultimate attack. And I'm just like, oh, and it's like Guitar Hero 2. Okay, cool. Yeah, this is sick. This is nice. This style is generally not my usual type of game style, but I love anything to do with music. I'm really bad at rhythm games, but like, as soon as I saw them describe, which is why I love developer showcases, they were talking about like, yeah, like the background music, your main character always listens to it. And it's like he's tapping his foot to the beat. And as someone who grew up, you know, having to play like multiple instruments, I'm just like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is like feeding into that like childhood memory of like learning music, learning how to enjoy it. And like, I'm like, oh my God, you can like kind of make your own music beats here, because the bass beat and the bass rhythm is whatever background music is going on at the time, but obviously you can do combinations. You can make different chain music beats here, which is really cool. And also there's a cute cat named 808. Like I'm sold.
Yeah. A little Ninja Gaiden here, maybe if we're lucky, a little Guitar Hero, as you know, a little Sunset Overdrive. This this could be really up my alley. Miranda, you too seemed relatively enamored with this game. Your thoughts?
I like the design of the world. The protagonist character is a little tad boring. I wish they could have made him a little bit more...
He's kind of vanilla, right?
Yeah, like, give him a cool hair color. I don't know. Everyone else looks a little bit more interesting than him, I guess, is my first thing. I was like, oh, I mean, don't you get, like, punk rock or just basic rock? Like, where are you going for? I think a little bit more style would have been cool for him. But that aside, I guess... these sorts of rhythm action games aren't really my jam. Just my own personal taste. I feel like they can be a little cheesy, but from the design part, I do like how they are building this world to really work so well with that and do a lot of visual cues to make sure that folks playing this have a good understanding of how this beat constantly moves and to enable them to get those really big high score moments. I know they said too that you're not restrained by music. You don't have to play to the beat, but you are rewarded exponentially by doing so. So by hitting with the rhythm, being in time, environments and everything else is like really in sync to that. Like even on this clip here, you can see like the wall is like bouncing to the rhythm. So everything here is like designed to help you keep time. And some people really need help with that. You know, you're ever at like at a big place, people are trying to clap together and you're like, oh no, because everyone's really bad at it. This game really wants you to succeed, and I like how that is designed. And I think that's what I'm most interested in. I'll probably play it just because I haven't really given the rhythm action games much of a chance. But I think my big concern is the music, because if the music isn't to your taste, then I don't think this game will work, because so much of it is about the music. Even if you like the action, I would say it's hard to get by without liking what they're providing for the soundtrack. So
yeah, we were joking amongst ourselves during the stream that what if the Nine Inch Nails song is Hurt?
Yeah,
like, what's the taste gonna be like for that? Like, wait a second, what am I supposed to be doing right now? But right. By the way, if we're gonna not let Destin off the hook for his dumb pun, Miranda, you have to be called out as well for saying that rhythm action games are not your jam. So don't think that you can get away with that just right in the midst.
I just appreciate it.
Talking about like the jams and jellies, you know, of the world.
Sure. All right. No, it's fine. Here's the thing about this game. Number one, it looks super intriguing. I love that it's like a full on cartoon. I mm-hmm. love that. You know, Tango's other they've done The Evil Within and did two of those. You heard I loved Mikami-san. Sort of joking, like this isn't very scary, and they've done Ghostwire Tokyo, and this is just a complete. This has visually speaking nothing to do with either of those games, and those games were cool, but I love that this is going full cartoon. I'm way into that, and I just want to like I wrote a column, blasting Xbox pretty hard for not showing up at the Game Awards last month, and you know. With hindsight, you can always, you know, you can always go back because, you know, part of me goes, well, why didn't they reveal this game at the Game Awards and say it's coming next month? But I want to not dwell on the negative and dwell on the positive here, which is that, you know, we've badly needed release dates for first party games, first party exclusives for Xbox. 2022 was a miserable year in terms of those big blockbuster first-party exclusives. And here we go. You know, we expected the Redfall release date. We got it. We expected the Minecraft Legends release date. We got it, April 18th. We expected the Forza Motorsport. At least I expected the Forza Motorsport release date as part of this. Did not get that, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But here it is. We're still in January, and we not only got another bonus release date, we got a game, a first-party game. So I want to give Microsoft the credit where credit is due on that, that later today, after we're done with this broadcast, whenever they put it up on Game Pass, we'll be playing a brand new first-party exclusive Xbox game. And that is something that we've just been waiting for a long time, and that and I'm so happy that Microsoft has managed to pull off the surprise
way. Do you think they'll do it for the Starfield event also, Ryan?
No.
And it's available tonight.
Something tells me,
they did it that one time.
The last time, I mean, Stella, you were mentioning Apex as a, you know, more or less a surprise drop. But as far as last time, like there was
Fallout.
There was Dead Rising DLC for must have been Dead Rising 4 that dropped. Like they announced it at E3 and it dropped that day. That's the last time I can remember something like this happening. And that must have been even 3 or 4 years ago.
They did it for the Fallout mobile game. So, you know, Starfield. They can do it for
Shelter.
Starfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin, that's different.
I know. I'm Zelda just DLC? Joking around.
But in any case, yeah, I'm thrilled that we have our first party exclusive game out on January 25th as a total surprise. So that's like the cherry on top of a game that looks really cool that I can't wait to play later today. I will say no doubt our reviews editor, Dan Stapleton, I'm going to give him a shout out. He's probably broken out in hives and or is profusely sweating right now as he has to manage the task of getting that game reviewed in as timely but in as complete of a way as possible. So we've got a few more minutes before we need to take another break. But I want to let's see if we can squeeze in real quick Minecraft Legends, because that is a game. I mean, it's arguably not aimed at core gamers. I was a little surprised they led with it. I thought they would throw that in the middle somewhere, but they opened with it. But Miranda, you were liking what you were seeing out of this game.
Hey, core gamer here. I like this game. I think it's cool. No, I understand what you're saying, though. It's like a potentially a different audience. But I would argue like this is something that's very appealing, especially to the folks who still play Minecraft or have fond memories of it, right? And getting to kind of be back in this world, mobs that you know, the environments that you know, and get to play in a different way. So this, they took time to look at the PvP multiplayer, and it is arguably probably more interesting to me than the campaign. So it's four players each on two teams, cross-platform, which is good to see that just out there most times these days. You share an army and resources across your team, and every map is procedurally generated. So you're just like running in, you got to build up your fort, and you got to go get your mobs and attack the enemy base. And it was so cool how they presented this, because as Destin was saying, like, we really want to get a lot of gameplay here, a lot of conversations. And I know, Destin, you weren't as much of a fan of this segment as I was, but I really liked that they were walking us through their strategy for building this up. Like, honestly, I was like, that's a thing to do first. Like, you should absolutely do this. Like, this is a great tip, because it really helps me visualize how you go about playing this game and what the advantages are in playing the PvP.
Destin, care to respond?
Well, for me, the reason I didn't want to hear them, I wanted to see the gameplay, is because they've already released a PvP-focused video. So for me, I'm like, let's see the PvP in action now, right? So getting to see it in action was definitely great, but like they had a lot of segments like where you're seeing on the screen where they were sort of talking about the game. I'm like, show and tell at the same time. Like my producer brain just, well, my gameplay game brain just wanted to see more gameplay, you know? It's really cool though that they're really showing off the golems. They're showing off, you know, rallying them up with your flag. I can't remember its specific name, but I think PvP could be a big growth avenue for them, because the Minecraft community is going to really dive into that. And the fact that every world is procedurally generated is going to keep it unique every time you play it. So I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this, you know, it is a little bit more of a, it is more of a core game than Minecraft is. So it'll be interesting to see if more Minecraft players gravitate towards this or more non-Minecraft players play this, enjoy it, and maybe gravitate back towards core Minecraft as well. All right, we're going to take another quick break, but we will be back to talk about Forza Motorsport. And we are going to talk about this big Halo situation going on with 343 and the state of Halo as well. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is
showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlocked. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Podcast Unlocked. We are reacting to the Xbox Developer Direct. It was about 40 minutes long. We got 5 video games. We'll see if we have time to talk a little Elder Scrolls Online, but first I do want to get to Forza Motorsport. That is the next-gen racing game, totally rebuilt. The Xbox One is being left behind. This racing game is solely for the Xbox Series X and Series S. Destin, I think this segment might largely be the two of us. You and I think, are the two people that care the most about this particular game, which is fine. Everybody's got their different tastes and preferences. The first thing I couldn't help but think of, Destin, with this is that even watching this on the stream, just it's the worst way to watch it because it's all compressed. It's 1080. You got to see, like, seeing this game in 4K 60 is going to be a completely different visual experience than watching it on a stream on YouTube.
Yeah, I actually reached out. So the IGN asset we're getting is actually from Turn 10, and we'll be releasing like a proper 4K version of this same asset. Thank you, Turn 10, for sending that over. Really excited to see that. And what a wow factor the graphical elements give to this game. I know it's silly to some people, but the fact that the dirt collects in the correct spots adds just another level of immersion. And getting to see that ray tracing while you're racing, and somehow they're going to have that while targeting 4K 60, that has to be like with DLSS or something, or FSR, which they use on the consoles, because I don't know how you accomplish that. You know, for a racing game like this is the sim racer in the series, right?
Yes. So closed circuit track racing, higher frame rate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's important, right? You can do 30 with a game like Forza Horizon 5. I think 60 is a little bit more important for a sim.
A very quick note though. I mean, even if you're not interested in this game or like playing it, the technical achievements in this have implications for every other game, right? Yep. Like, you have to look at these racing sims to see like what graphical possibilities there are, like what cool technology advancements they're making. Like, that dirt will impact the dirt on your favorite RPG character someday. And so you shouldn't like dismiss that necessarily, right? Like, that's a big deal.
Specifically Fable. Yeah. Fable's using this engine because Fable's using Forza Tech. So,
oh my God, imagine.
everything you are seeing here can be rolled into Fable should the Fable team choose to utilize it. So that is an excellent point to make about this, Miranda. But yeah, it's funny, Destin, I had the realistic dirt accumulation also in my notes because I'm a car guy.
I haven't seen that.
That is cool. That is an awesome, like, 'cause a racing game, sure, you know, you want the cars to drive realistically and behave, but those sort of little details just add so much to the realism factor of a game that's trying to be realistic. It is a simulation. It is attempting to simulate real life racing. So yeah, the realistic dirt accumulation is fantastic. I love that. 500 total cars.
Yeah.
100 of them new to motorsport. Now, I suppose that could mean cars that I actually don't know if there are cars off the top of my head, if there are cars that have been in Forza Horizon that have not been in motorsport. I guess there probably have, considering there's been for sure one and possibly two Horizons since we got our last motorsport,
like the LFA. But, yeah. I don't know if that was in like Motorsport 7, but
yeah. Or the Porsche Taycan EV, for instance.
That's right.
One of my favorite cars in Horizon 5. But 20 environments, all rebuilt for next gen. So even if they were featured in previous Forza Motorsport games, because really there are only so many famous racing circuits around the world. So all the major racing games have pretty well covered them all at some point in time. But all 20 rebuilt from scratch for next gen, including 5 that are, again, new to motorsport. So 5 that you've never seen in a Forza Motorsport game before. There's a single player career in this, which makes me very happy that it won't, you know, of course the online functionality, the online racing will be great. And, you know, in single player, you'll be able to race as Forza Motorsport pioneered back in the day, racing the ghosts of your friends on the track and their drivatars. My drivatar is known to be quite a dick. If you run into my drivatar on the track, I've received many tweets over time of people upset at my drivatar for behaving the way it does.
They showed the driver for a second in the footage also, and it looks really, really good, like how they've decided to render that character. Of the 20 tracks, I was surprised we didn't get a new track announcement today because we only know of 5 of them. They really focused on Kyalami Grand Prix, which has only been in Assetto Corsica as far as I know, because I was sort of curious about that. But we know that this game is going to have an all-new Hakone track that takes place in Japan. And they've teased that on their socials. So I was like, I was surprised that they're focusing a bit on a track that was confirmed and maybe even shown a little bit. So we know about Kyalami. We know Laguna Seca.
Well, it might just be furthest along, right? From a development perspective, it might have just been the one that was most, you know, in shape to show off on this thing.
Well, Maple Valley was the one we saw in the first trailer. And then we got a look at Kyalami. We know Laguna Seca, Francochamp, and Hakone are also confirmed for the game. So where are the other 5? There's 15 more tracks they're going to reveal for Forza. Yeah. That's awesome. With the 500 car thing is also nothing to snub your nose at. That is a huge roster of vehicles to choose from. You know, I can't think of, I don't know how many were in GT7 last year, but I don't think it was 500. Was it? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up here. We'll have our crack news team, i.e. me, when one of you is talking. We'll look it up. But,
well, I'm surprised we're not mentioning the fact that the temperature of the track is going to affect how you drive and stuff. And that was what stood out to me. I know the dirt is interesting and all, but like the temperature of the track is what really got me. And I'm actually surprised that they didn't show any like damage and how that'll be sustained on your vehicle and how that'll affect your driving, which I know if it's a sim, you want it to be as realistic as possible. So I'm surprised we didn't really get a good look at that. So I don't know. Car experts, what do you think about that particular aspect?
They discussed the damage aspect, and I don't think it has a physical impact on, you know, wind or anything like that that would impact your car or your drivability. So I think it's visual and aesthetically, but that is directional. It does go through multiple layers of point. So like if you scratch in a specific spot, that's where that scratch will take place, and they will show through the layers of paint there. But I do think it's just an aesthetic aspect to the game. They also covered off on the fact that this is going to be the first game where they have multiple tire compositions. That's something that like GT has done for years. And GT was the previous game I played. And before that, I played Forza Horizon 5. Great racers, just very different genres, right?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, The tire composition thing is kind of a big deal for this, because with the time of day effects and the weather effects and everything impacting how your tires drive, Stella, to your point, it's going to have a drastic impact. And they've even bragged about how like they're going to check what the tire is doing 16 times every second. So you get that level of realism to the Forza Motorsport gameplay. One thing,
Destin, just to jump in, and I know you weren't trying to make like a console fanboy comparison. It's just that GT7 was the last major sim racer to come out.
I bought a steering wheel for it. I was super into it. Yeah.
457 cars is the current list. So, you know, similar number, tons of cars in both games. But
and then I wonder I wonder what Motorsport 7 had then also. Anyway, that's for after the show. the last thing I was going to say was, you know what? I lost it. Back to you, Ryan.
That's okay. Yeah. No, I mean, this game, it's been a while since Forza Motorsport 7. And while I'm on record as saying I actually do prefer, I think Horizon is the even better game. That's not I'm not trying to insult Motorsport, because it's been a phenomenal sim racing series for years. I actually think it passed up Gran Turismo a few iterations ago, even though, again, GT7 is great, and I've got a PSVR 2 pre-ordered, and I'm really looking forward to playing some GT7 in VR. That's something that I will not be able to do in the reboot of Forza Motorsport here. But
the sound.
Yeah,
that's what it was. That's what I lost.
Yeah, go ahead. You want to talk a little Dolby Atmos?
Yeah, so they confirmed Windows Sonic and Dolby Atmos, but they also did a segment about how the sound is going to impact your driving. And it made me think of the PlayStation 5 controller and how they use the haptic feedback in the triggers to recognize when you were doing your corners perfectly, like just hitting the edge, and you would get that vibration. It seems like the Forza team, their solution with Forza Tech is to have a sound design, and they really accented that very clearly when you were on the edge of the track and feeling that vibration, which is really important to a driver who wants to shave off that 1 second, you know, every lap and hit every corner just right. So those small things are very important in the sim racing scene. And I think it's going to do a lot to further immerse players in that sort of driving experience.
Well, don't forget, Destin, that our friend, the Xbox controller, those Forza is one of the few games that made good use of the rumble triggers.
Yeah.
Over time, where, you know, if you grab the brake real hard, you can actually it kind of simulates the feel of the brake caliper grabbing the
resistance
disc to try to stop the brake rotor. So, I can't wait to see. Like, the thing about Forza is they've always had really talented technical folks. Like, you know, I think Miranda was touching on it at the top of this segment, where it has always been a gorgeous game going all the way back, and they have never let up on that. Forza has always looked stunning, and that's always been led by Motorsport, and Horizon's done a great job of turning that into an open world scenario. You know, the Playground team that does Forza Horizon and the Turn 10 team that does Forza Motorsport, they share a tech pipeline. So they are constantly, when one team makes an improvement, it gets shared with the other team for them to utilize as well. So, you know, even the things that Playground did for Horizon 5 have no doubt in some small, medium, or large way contributed to Motorsport and this next gen reboot that we're getting. We've got a couple more minutes here. So I want to go. I know we're kind of out of time for ESO. Great to get another expansion. Those expansions are almost like clockwork. Every June, you get a major new expansion for ESO. They're putting up all the old ones for free. Do we have one more segment, or are we out? Somebody needs to remind me.
Well, they remind
all right,
you.
So we're gonna be out live, but we're gonna come back and do another segment to talk about Halo, because I'm not done talking yet. But before we cut out from the live broadcast, I just want to get a grade from each of you, grading this Xbox Developer Direct, the first one of these they have done. Miranda, I'll go to you first. Give us the United States grade, you know, school grades, A, B, C, D, F. How did Microsoft do today?
I actually gave them an A. I thought it was great. They delivered exactly what they said. They gave us an extra surprise. I got a very good understanding of all these games, mostly release dates. One, they're not ready to share yet, so that's fine. I thought it was a really good time.
Stella?
Yeah, same. An A. I think about it like the tier list, but then the S is at the top, right? So I'd say it's an A. They didn't go away. They didn't like stray from the tracks of what they said they were going to deliver. Like Miranda said, they had everything in there, and they even hit your bingo, your prediction, Ryan, about dropping a new game. So yeah, absolutely an A.
Destin,
B. Quickly, Redfall gets an B. A.
All right. I'm going A as well. Again, the only thing I can possibly complain about is that lack of a Forza Motorsport release date. Is it still going to make that out before June, before the end of June window that we were promised a year ago? We shall see. But that'll do it for this live episode of Podcast Unlocked. But we will be back. If you join us on your favorite podcast service or on YouTube later, we're going to do another segment. We're going to talk some Halo. So until whether we're done or whether you're coming back to see us later, we'll see you soon. For those of you that this is like the Unlocked extended after hours edition.
I didn't do it.
If you're not listening to this live, I guess if you're hearing or watching this, you didn't watch us live, so none of this matters, and we can just talk and it's fine.
It's the real thing.
So the show up to this point was we were walking the live tightrope and trying not to mess up. Now we can mess up all we want. Now it's fine.
All right, back to the box
later. No, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. So, yeah, we did our live reactions for the Xbox Developer Direct. But there's one other major news story, and I mentioned it at the top of the podcast, that we just missed it, as often happens, the timing of our recording. Go figure. We just missed this last week, so I wanted to dedicate some time to it, especially as kind of the dust has settled on it now. There's been a little more chatter. And that is the situation at 343 Industries. They were seemingly pretty heavily impacted by the layoffs, the 10,000 people that Microsoft laid off about a week or so ago now. One of the people that is thankfully not laid off, but no longer at 343, is Joseph Staten, the director of Halo Infinite, who parachuted in there in the final year to help really focus the game, get it out the door. And really was a person that, I obviously didn't work with him. I didn't develop Halo, but from a public facing perspective, was somebody that the community could trust, right? That said, hey, you're an OG Halo developer. You wrote the story for Halo, Joseph. We a lot of faith in you. And Infinite did land great. Miranda, I'm not just Miranda and I, all four of us have really enjoyed the campaign of Halo. And so the departure of Joseph Staten really leaves a creative void at the top of the team and like that director's chair. And it sort of more and more departures are becoming known. Unfortunately, by departures now, I mean layoffs across, in a lot of the different teams. So I'm talking too much. Let me just go around the room here. Destin, your first thoughts on kind of the situation now at 343 with team has been heavily impacted by these layoffs. Joseph has gone back to publishing. He will not be working directly on Halo anymore. How are you feeling about the future of Halo right now?
Worried. I'm very worried about the future of Halo. I don't know how you lay off a quarter of your staff when you were already struggling to support the game and keep multiplayer functional, and now a quarter of your staff's gone, including a ton of people in the art department. You know, 343's released their statement. We released our story corroborating some of the stuff that we've heard behind the scenes. They're saying, you know, we dispelled those rumors. But at the end of the day, what former employees are telling us are not good things. This is very concerning, and a two sentence statement doesn't do a lot to ease my concerns for the campaign DLC we were supposed to get, or what they're going to do with multiplayer in the months to come. When they were at full staff, the one multiplayer story that we got was go kill stuff, good job killing stuff. It was a joke pandered by the community. So now they've fired a quarter of their staff and they're just like, we're all good, we're still going to do all the stuff we promised. Okay, like Forge is great. What they've done with Forge has been very, very fun and interesting, but we need concrete examples of successes from 343 beyond the campaign. And unfortunately, multiplayer has had a ton of issues. Sorry, Ryan, I'm kind of rambly.
No, it's all right. I want to read the statement for anybody in our audience that hasn't heard it. This was the studio head, Pierre Hintz, taking to the @Halo account on Twitter to say, Halo and Master Chief are here to stay. 343 Industries will continue to develop Halo now and in the future, including epic stories, multiplayer, and more of what makes Halo great. Stella, you certainly focus more on the multiplayer side of things. You reviewed Halo Infinite's multiplayer while I reviewed the campaign. You, as I mentioned earlier in the show, and I'm always happy to give you the deserved props, you are our multiplayer queen at this company. Nobody can defeat you in battle, and you have a ton of knowledge on just multiplayer communities and what makes a great multiplayer game and what makes a great live service ongoing multiplayer game. You've talked about how you've fallen off Halo multiplayer, even though you really liked it when it came out, you know, the struggles of Halo, of 343 to sort of maintain the live service aspect of it in a way that could keep players' attention. So what do you make of all this? How are you feeling about Halo right now?
Well, I mean, I feel like I've constantly been in this state of like, oh, I'll wait for more updates and then I'll go back to it. I'll wait. And the same with like the winter update that came out, a lot of people actually really enjoyed it. They went back, but I think a lot of them realized that it was kind of more of the same. So I always meant to go back with the winter update, but I was like, oh, there are all these other quality games that I could play that I know I will enjoy. Whereas the last few times that I've played Halo multiplayer, I really did not enjoy my time in it. So it's kind of a hard thing. It feels like that trust has been kind of broken. Yeah. I feel like the server issues still have not been addressed and it only gets worse. There are still a lot of exploits that players can find. And the good exploits that the community actually enjoy have been taken out of like competitive, which
ridiculous.
Is really bad. It's really bad. And it does not make a good linkage between the devs and the community. I do believe that the devs are trying to do everything that they can to try and communicate that they are paying attention, but it feels like they're paying attention in the wrong way. So with this news, it makes me feel even less enthusiastic and hopeful, I guess. I already didn't feel great about the state that it was in, and I've mentioned like, man, if only I could go back and review it now, it would be a completely different story. Like when it first came out, yes, it had a lot of promise. I was very excited. Obviously, with a new live service game, it's going to take some time to get used to it. Apex wasn't always great as a live service game, but they got on top of it after like second or third season. But Halo's still struggling, and that's kind of telling that they haven't been able to adjust. So it doesn't make me feel great about it.
Miranda, how about you?
So I've actually gone back to Halo pretty infrequently and have been playing actually quite regularly since December. So I was one of those people who got back for the winter update and honestly did see a lot of changes that were needed. To Stella and Dustin's point, though, it's very obvious that this team still needed a lot of help in maintaining this game. And them laying off a ton of staff does not seem promising at all to me. Like, for instance, in Bank Team Battle, stockpile's just a mess. Like, anytime we get stockpile, like, okay, are we on the team that cares about what they're doing? Are we on the team that's just trying to clear goals and then just get the weekly challenges? Like, is that what's happening here? And it just feels bad to be there sometimes. It's like, well, at least we can waste 10 minutes trying to practice headshots and other things. But, and that's a problem, right? You shouldn't feel like that of like an entire mode. And there's a lot of issues and a lot of good things there too. But, and it's again, obvious that things have been balanced. Some things have been tweaked, but there's still more work to be done. And when they say, yeah, Master Chief and Cortana, they're staying here at 343. I'm like, okay, but with what team? And, you know, Ryan, you hit on this too. It's like, you say this, but how can you say this? I mean, I guess if you're saying, yeah, it's staying here as in like there are some people who are at this team that will help, but ultimately if development is still being handed off elsewhere, and that's kind of a strange remark to make at all. Obviously, these layoffs too were hit across Microsoft, and it was also at Bethesda and at the Coalition, and all of these things happening are just very worrisome and, of course, really unfortunate. I hope those devs can find the jobs really quickly. I know it's been a very tough time in a lot of industries right now, and it's really stressful. But again, like I say this all the time about Halo, it's like, guys, this is Master Chief, Xbox. What the heck? Like this is like your golden goose. Like this is like the icon for Xbox, and this is what's happening to it. And it's really unfortunate to see and weird to wrap our hands around how it just feels like it's not getting the support it needs to be what it could be.
Yeah. Go ahead, Stella, please.
I was just going to say, it's really bad when 343 puts out that announcement post that they will stay with Halo, like Halo will be their baby. And it's really, really bad when you see the entire community saying, well, maybe it would be better off in someone else's hands.
Yeah, the reaction was, I don't know if that's good news anymore. And that's pretty scathing from a community that, you know, Halo Infinite came out. We're all really excited about it. We're all pretty positive about it. And then they just, what's it been? A year? And we're still waiting for the campaign DLC. There's still sync issues in multiplayer. They were largely fixed with the winter update, but there's still problems, like core problems that aren't fixed yet. That's really, really worrisome for me.
And also they said that they're going to do more updates, more releases this year. Like, is that even possible at this point?
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine the stress that team must be feeling too on the back of having all these layoffs and like, oh yeah, we're still owning Master Chief. We're still owning the series. We'll get to it. I'm like, that's a lot.
I almost wonder if it's like part denial, I don't know, and like certain affinity is going to be lifting more of the heavy weight than 343 will be at the end of the day. I'm very concerned. I'm very worried about the future of Halo.
Sorry, she's barking. I'm trying to stay focused because this is a serious Halo is a serious topic, but there's a barking dog in the background, so I'm just going to see if holding on to her will help here for the rest of the show. But it's, you know, I'm going to read you just one little snippet from our story from Obier from yesterday. And that is, at least one senior level source with knowledge of 343's internal workings, but who is no longer with the studio, has claimed to IGN that 343 is being reduced to a publishing team. However, based on conversations that IGN has had with knowledgeable sources, the situation at 343 appears to be ongoing, and there is a growing, if unconfirmed, conviction that 343 will no longer be Halo's sole developer when it's settled. And so, you know, I want to go on record. I tweeted this, but I want to make it clear. I'm not rooting against 343. I think 343 has been a net positive for Halo. Those of you listening out there, some of you may disagree. That's okay. But when I look at Halo 4's single player, when I look at Halo 5's multiplayer, when I look at Halo Infinite's launch multiplayer and its campaign, I think that the studio has been a net positive. They've seemingly just never quite been able to put all of it together into just one amazing package, which is what Bungie managed to do. And I think that's the standard that 343 has been held to. And it's both fair and unfair. It's unfair because they're not Bungie, but it's fair because, well, you took over Halo and that's the job. So, you know, it's a weird situation, and I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I would share all of your sentiments that I'm worried about the future of Halo. And until 343 can prove otherwise, you know, I don't know where we're going. I don't know if there's still the 10-year plan that they told Miranda and I about 2 or 3 years ago. I can't imagine that's a thing anymore. And if that's the case, that's okay. You know, I need a producer to tell me how long we have, because I know we're running out of time. And I think my closing statement on this would be, you know, number one, I hope everybody affected by the 343 layoffs is able to find the next chapter in their career soon, because 343 has a ton of talented people, and those displaced people they're going to do great somewhere else. And for the future of Halo, If 343 is not going to be in the driver's seat, and that's a big if, again, I'm not rooting for it, I think we might be heading for, I think a reboot might make sense for whoever takes over. And I don't say that lightly. We can talk more about it on a future episode, but there's a lot of reasons why it might be time to just hit the reset button on the whole series. It's been done before by other franchises. God of War comes to mind as a successful example of that, but it is an ongoing situation with Halo and at 343. So for our super producer Red, along with my wonderful crew here of Miranda Sanchez, Stella Chung, and Destin Legarry, I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was a mostly live version of Podcast Unlocked. Oh, now it's pets time. It's pets time in the final seconds. This was Unlocked 579. Where's the camera? Get in front of the camera. Yeah, there we go. There we go. And we will see you all again next week.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.